Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name is Tom Bump, and I'm your host. I want to thank Go Curriculum for their sponsorship of today's episode of the KMC. Go has produced a brand new Bible school kit that can be used in any kind of format, whether it be in the home, in the church, in a park, in a backyard. Trust me, you're going to love this kit. And if you use the code KMC40, you even receive $40 off the whole program. Let me tell you, this is not a reboot and a remake. This is a fresh, brand new take on the Vacation Bible School idea. I want to say thank you to Go for their sponsorship of this edition, and enjoy this special episode of the KMC podcast. Hey, so welcome. This is a special edition of our podcast, and today what we're doing is getting together some of the Orange Blogger, or aka influencer team, as I guess we've been newly dubbed, or at least we were told that's what we are. We've gotten together today. There's a bunch of us. We all each have podcasts and different Facebook groups that we belong to. And so we thought it'd be good just to do an Orange Conference wrap-up. We know it's been a few weeks since Orange Conference, but we thought it would be good just to have that conversation again and to continue to digest. There was so much content there. So on the podcast today, which this podcast, we're doing one podcast, but all of us are going to be sharing this out on our platforms. So we've got three different podcasts. So we'll have each person introduce themselves and what podcasts they have. And obviously I'll start. I'm Tom Bump. I have the Kid Ministry Collective podcast and Facebook group with the same name.
And I'm Steve Cullum, and I'm the host of the Student Ministry Podcast. It can be found at thestudentministrypodcast.com. And we focus on interviewing other youth pastors and youth workers out there. And
I'm David Madron. I have my little piece of real estate out in the podcast and blog world, kidsmentalk.com, and also the Kids Men Talk podcast, where we talk all things kids ministry.
Cool, guys. Well, and there could be a part two to this where we've got some other podcasters and bloggers, influencers that'll be joining us at another time. But the three of us had the opportunity to get together and do this recording today. So obviously, Orange Conference, which normally draws in 7,000-8,000 leaders from all over the country, around the world, comes into Atlanta to an amazing few days of intense worship, breakouts, general sessions, lots of great food and fellowship around that, King of Pops, all those good things, Jim and Nick's barbecue. And unfortunately, obviously with COVID-19, Orange couldn't safely pull that together and allow us to all come together. And so we had to make, I keep saying the word and I really dislike, it's gonna make the most hated word list of 2020 will be pivot.
I can't help but think of the Friends episode every time I hear it too. Pivot.
Yes. I mean, I dream about the word pivot. Yeah. But anyway, but Orange had to do a pivot. And if you're going to pivot, see how many times I've said that already in 30 seconds. It was amazing. They took a conference, like I said, that's normally broken over a couple of days and with all the breakouts, and made it into an online experience that is just was really amazing and almost a little overwhelming at times. And so we're going to just kind of go through and share some general thoughts. Steve, what was your first thought of when you heard it was going to be a format change, and what were your general impressions?
Yeah. Originally I was upset. Honestly, I was bummed. It's something that I really look forward to hanging out with you guys and so many other ministry leaders from around the country and some from around the world, just gathering, you know, once a year to hang out, to not only learn together, but I love sitting across the table, across other, with other leaders, you know, whether it's, you know, right after a breakout in between as we're walking around, or it's going out to dinner with everybody. And I was really upset that wasn't going to be able to happen. And I told my wife that I was like, man, I would normally be on my way to Atlanta this year. And not that Atlanta's fantastic necessarily, but the Orange Conference is so much a part of my annual, you know, plan over the last, I don't know what, 10, 12 years of ministry. And it's just something I really look forward to. So yeah, I was initially kind of upset that we were moving online. Everything else is moving online. And I like part of those ideas of how we as a church have had to change a lot of those things. But yeah, there's just something special about Orange Conference that, yeah, I was initially not so excited about moving it online.
For sure. I can relate. You know, I almost called everybody and said, hey, the hotel rooms are still booked. Let's go meet at the hotel, and right. we're going to do Orange Conference down there regardless of, but didn't think that was exactly the wise idea. So
I actually, I forgot to cancel my plane tickets until like the last minute. So I could have almost made that trip still.
Hey, there we go. David, how about you, man? When you heard they were going to shift,
yeah,
what'd you think?
I think about the networking opportunities that are lost, you know, that platform's what's brought all of us together, the way it has. And, I think back even 2 years ago, in 2018, I started a conversation with the church, there at Orange and said, hey, I was talking to one of our pastor's wives. I'm like, you don't know who I am, but I know who you are. And I would love to come work at your church. And they had no openings. I mean, just nothing. But I just kind of took that step of faith. And I know so many people, so many ministry leaders can look back at something life-changing at Orange that really helped shape direction in their ministry and even ministry change. And I guess it was about 4 months post Orange, back in 2018, got to have a conversation with the church I'm at now. And, over 2 weeks, that conversation led to an offer and moving back home to the Dallas area. So yeah, I mean, just, you know, I miss the people, you know, I miss the garb that people come out, the costume that people come out with, you know, just the vibe in the arena. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really watching John and Brandon, you know, do their things. And then you've got Tripp and Tyler and John Acuff and Kellen and, you know, just all of these funny guys who just make it so – so personal. And so that was robbed from us.
Yeah. And,
you know, we had a team of 18 from our church going. And last year, that was a time for us to really kind of gel and bond outside of our own environments. And we had an incredible time, still tell stories of Orange Conference 2019. And that, you know, just wasn't able to take that in the same capacity this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of us went through a grieving process. I mean, I saw it online too. I mean, even in the Facebook groups, people grieving, you know, the party on the porch and just hanging out that preset, you know, pre-conference excitement and meeting up with the Orange specialists and yeah, just seeing, I mean, Orange Conference is like a big family reunion for a lot of us. And so not being able to go see a lot of my ministry friends and hang out in person. I think I felt the same thing, a little bit of anger, a little frustration, just a lot of disappointment. Knowing that wasn't going to happen and that no matter what we did, it wasn't going to be the same. Yes, being grateful when I heard the announcement, it was going to move online. Being grateful that I would still get challenged and get some content for the year because I look forward to that pick me up and that boost. Yeah, for me, I mean, even the year before, I was starting to look at a whole new ministry, stepping into a brand new out of a normal full-time church position into full-time coaching and partnering with churches and helping ministry leaders. And it was terrifying. And I remember God showing so many signs of confirmation when I was at Orange Conference that I was doing the right thing and I was following in obedience. And so I was like a little scared even coming into this year's conference going, am I going to have that experience or not? And so when they started and when they jumped online, what was your impressions of the whole opening and how they approached it? I'm just curious. David, we'll start with you first.
Yeah, I thought they did a really awesome job, all things considered. And it's probably the closest thing to the actual in-person presentation that they could have done. And Reggie was just so intentional, even though they had to make the changes that they had to make, of still trying to create a similar experience online. Mm-hmm. I was upon that first main session, I was really kind of relieved and thought, okay, the next couple of days are going to go a little better than what my preconceived thoughts were going into it. Steve?
Yeah, I think that's kind of similar to what I thought. I mean, I was, we've been doing church online for, the last few months and stuff. And I knew how that was going to go. And like, you know what? I don't know if it's like that for the conference. I'm like, I don't really know. But then as soon as it started, all of a sudden it was like all that kind of, not everything, but a lot of those things that I was not so sure about, those apprehensive about, like all of a sudden started lifting. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this. And I think it's going to be good. And I think with every session, it really just, reinforced that thought. And I think before I knew it, I was, blowing through pages of notes and getting bombarded with all the information that I normally was. And then able to actually connect with more people this year than I ever did before, just because of the situation. I don't think it was a matter of quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. I do think that, because there's just something about that being in person, sitting across a table from someone, that it's a quality conversation. But I was able to actually connect with a quantity of a lot more people this year, just the nature of it. And I think that was really cool, and probably talked with a lot of people that I normally would have never gotten the opportunity to. And some conversations struck up over breakouts or whatever it was. So that was really cool to see some benefits from being online that we don't get when we're in person. So in some ways it actually showed me that there are pros to actually doing an online conference versus the in-person conference.
Yeah. Tom, oops.
Well, when I started looking at the way they started off, I mean, I love the fact that they kicked it off with John and Brandon. They brought them out front and it was kind of like, oh, okay, this feels great. What are they going to do? And you got that anticipation again. And then to have Reggie come in almost like we were coming into his living room feel, yeah. Even though we knew that was kind of the studio at the Faith Center or theater or whatever area, it felt like a living room. And having the round table discussions felt familiar. So they were able to bring some of the familiar, more intimate moments, even though they always do it in this huge arena, those moments become so intimate sitting around the table, that it drew us in. And so I felt like those first opening moments were so critical to the whole time, because of the fact that they drew us into the living room. They made it, last year's theme made it personal.
Yeah.
That really helped, because the rest of the time, honestly, was like drinking out of five fire hoses. Right. It was so intense that I was like, holy cow, I don't know if I can process all this. And I immediately started. And I, so, yeah, one of the almost con, I guess, in some ways of this conference was it was really intense for me. I don't know if you guys felt that, but I felt like, wow, I don't know how to take it all in. Even though it was on demand in some ways, I don't know how to, I didn't know how to mentally pivot to this new format. So I struggled those first couple of sessions, I'll be honest. David, or yeah, go ahead.
You know, you talk about just the intensity. You know, I really kind of feel like you're kind of breaking off into main session talk here. I kind of feel like we wouldn't have received the raw emotion from John Williams on the couch in that conversation. I'm still incredibly moved. Just thinking back three weeks ago, of that conversation that he and Reggie had, and Tom, you described it wonderfully, you know. It felt like we were in Reggie's living room, and then that John was right there just having a very much needed conversation with his best friend. And I don't know that it comes across that way in an arena with 8,000 people. Now, I'm sure if this was part of the plan all along, that they would have orchestrated it and, you know, made it to come across in a way that we would have gotten all the feels that we got from it. But it just became that much more impactful for me because I've seen and known John for a long time, and just seeing his category of work through Orange for close to a decade, if not longer. And really seeing the curtain peeled back. I came away really feeling like mental health and ministry was one of the big platforms of the conference. And it was very timely considering where we're at right now.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that they did focus on that, because I think that was something that Not in a huge way in terms of mental health, but in terms of mental preparation. I think that's one of the reasons why I think I struggled so much. I think, like you said, Tom, is like to be able to take everything in, because I don't know if I was mentally prepared to be at home experiencing all of this like I am when I go to the conference. Because I have that preparation time. I get there a day early. I'm like sitting in the spot where everybody else is, and this combined experience together, and I'm ready to take it all in. Granted, it's still like a fire hose, but
yeah.
But I feel like at home, like I was still trying to keep ministry going, and I was having occasional meetings with staff, and I didn't fully pull myself out for those 3 days like right. I think I should have. And so that was even more difficult to take it all in. But I do really appreciate the ability just to step in. And I feel like this one above, I think, more than any of the in-person conferences, really reflected Reggie, I think, as a leader. Like this had, I feel like, Reggie's fingerprints all over it. Just like, hey, let's sit down and talk. Let's be real. Let's be honest about the struggles, about the future of the church, what we're thinking. And they really were able to really dive into that together. And they just have a great way of, like, so many thoughts that I've been thinking and God's been like putting in my head. I'm trying to figure them all out, and they just articulate them so well. And that was cool just to hear them sit down and really wrestle with those things.
Yeah. And you know, when I was thinking about this and the whole format change, you know, even the way they set up the breakouts to do, you know, yeah, they did them on, they're all on demand, pre-recorded talks, shorter in nature than normal breakouts were, but then having live Q&A, And I know a lot of people were saying on social media that, man, those were like gold, even almost better in some instances than the actual breakout part. And again, I think that, again, like you just said, reflects Reggie. To me, it allowed us to get up close and personal with a lot of the speakers that we don't normally get to see that up close, to hear from them, to ask them some real life questions, not just the typical question. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just felt like that part was real and not production, where sometimes things do get production-y. That was just raw. So I think the whole format overall, like I said, was a little intense. Would have been nice to have a few breaks scheduled in there just to let you decompress a little bit. Cause by day two, I was chit-chatting with David off. We had a kind of a running chat going. And I was like, man, I'm having a hard time focusing right now. I'm just like, and I don't know if some of that was Zoom fatigue. But there was a struggle there of how do I process it? But like you said, some of it, I think, was because this is so real and so relevant to where we are right now that it was so heart hitting. I mean, it really hit my heart to think about, wow, look at where we are. And that the one quote about revolutions are born out of pain. I think Ryan Leek said that. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, I mean, this, there's a lot of pain going on, and out of that pain, what's the revolution spiritually going to happen, coming out on the backside of this? And I think the potential is huge. So, well, let's turn the table a little bit and go start thinking about the theme of the conference and just the overall, you know, kind of feel of the talks and what you thought. What were you guys' takeaways on that, the whole theme idea?
Yeah, I think it's crazy that this was chosen like a year and a half ago. It's so incredibly relevant. And I think you can kind of read into things if you want to, but I just think it's the Holy Spirit's guiding. I mean, I think the It's Personal theme last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was, is so incredibly important as well for where we were at that time too. And so this one was just even more spot on than usual, given our circumstances. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from all this, I think, was when Reggie actually asked like a question of like, how or will we love the families that are not a part of our church yet as much as we love the families mm-hmm. that are a part of our church. Mm-hmm. And I think when he asked that question, it was just like, oh yeah, Reggie, just drop the mic, walk away. That's enough for us to really ponder, because I think that's the revolution that we really need to have. You know, it's not just about the Sunday experience anymore. Like, and it shouldn't probably have ever been, but like, how do we actually get past that? And I think my biggest thing to kind of jump ahead for me is that I hope and I pray that we as a whole church will allow the changes that need to happen to actually happen instead of just going back to what was comfortable before. And I wonder if this whole pandemic and quarantine and everything needs to actually be extended a little bit for us to really experience that as a church and really learn what we really need to learn. Because if it's too short, we may bounce back and we may not fully take away what we need to take away. But to really like think about how are we caring for those families that are not part of our church, can't be part of our church, choosing not to be a part of our church, how are we actually going to those people? And loving them just as much as those ones that come to our church all the time.
So. Yeah. You know, just piggyback off that a little bit, you know, so many of our churches and even ministries now went from building focused to now digital focused. I mean, we're all, as one of the memes that came out about a week or two after we all went digital, we're all televangelists now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we, I think the thing that really just kept digging at me is, you know, in my community, there are so many people that we aren't engaging as a church face to face that we've now since been able to engage digitally because we were moved to a new age. You know, even though we've lived in the digital age for, you know, 10, 15 years, and it's progressed quite a bit over the last few years, we weren't making a lot of headway to really engage our neighbors. And now we, you know, especially right after all of this first came out, you know, church attendance, church viewership online was just skyrocketed, you know, everywhere from the smallest church to the largest church. And, you know, now it's as some churches are starting to feel their way back through and figuring out, okay, what does life look like online and in person? We would fail as a church. We just went back to thinking about, okay, how are we going to get people in our doors? And I'm not saying that's not important because it is, but we've got a whole community of people that have now opened themselves up to us as the big church, that we really have to kind of massage those relationships and gain that trust if we ever expect them to meet us where we're at on a Sunday.
So I'm curious for you guys, what was when you started hearing Reggie talking about the whole idea of change, and you guys both touched on it, how important it is for us as a church to consider what needs to change. I thought Reggie did a very eloquent job, and actually Kirsten Ivey nailed a lot of points. I mean, she had a lot of mic drop moments in her talk. You know, when she started off with that question, what do we do now? And it was a very, you know, I mean, that it's a simple question, but it's not so simple. Because right now a lot of churches are asking, what do we do right now? Do we reopen when the quarantine is lifted, stay at home orders are lifted? Do we not? What do we do? How do we change? I'm just curious, you know, what are your thoughts on that, and what kind of questions were raised in your mind after hearing some of that, you know, what this whole theme brought up?
Yeah, I think I'm excited. I'm a change person. So to hear that talk, and hear that more people talking that way gets me excited. Because I think it's something that I feel like I've been thinking about for a long time, but hearing it from, you know, people like, you know, Reggie and Kristen and so many others that have that, that influence is, yeah, was great. I'm like, yes, 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 this is awesome. How can I just pass this exact video on to everyone I know? but I think at the same time, I'm hesitant, I guess, because I know people and I know the church and I know how steeped in tradition we often are. And I immediately start, I guess, just as much as I am excited about it, the doubt starts creeping in and I start wondering, you know, okay, is this actually going to be able to happen? Can we actually move our focus from, you know, everything on Sunday morning to what's happening throughout the week? Can we actually move our focus more to helping our community and serving other people that they can't come to church yet or whatever? And can we actually make that word you're talking about earlier, that pivot, that needs to happen? And I think that's the big question that I'm wrestling with now is not necessarily personally, because I really am ready. And I think there's some apprehension in there too, because of the unknown. But I'm mostly excited about what can happen, but I, But I wonder if we as a whole, do we as the church have the courage to actually make those changes that need to happen, to step away from the comfortable, go into the uncomfortable, but know that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is still alive in us and ready to walk through all that with us as we put him first and not our names anymore.
Preach, preacher.
Yeah. I was convicted that we weren't more engaging before, that we weren't more neighbor minded, and I'm not just talking about my local body of worship, but just the church in general. That we still a competition. Things still are taken personally between churches, and there's not more of a collective effort in our communities to really come together as just the bride of Christ to bring change in our communities. Not for my church's name or your church's name or your church's name, but for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And for the eternity. I mean, we're talking heaven and hell here, boys and girls.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're talking eternity, not who's going to this church or who's going to that church. Because look, you've now got an online campus. They may never step foot in your door. Just community partnership amongst the local churches. Why haven't we done a better job of that? So I was definitely convicted because I've not reached out to enough people in my community to say, hey, what can we do together to make a greater kingdom impact?
Yeah. The whole thought that was raised of the church is going to be a priority for some families. You know, they're going to show up when the doors are open, but that's not everybody. And so when you start thinking about, well, what if every family became a priority for our church, not just the ones that come to our building? And like you, Steve, my personality is wired for change. I am one who constantly I'm a great starter sometimes and not a great finisher sometimes because I'm changing so often. because I do love change. And I'm more excited now about the potential of the church, just because I feel like we have gotten, and David, you said a really good thing. It's good. You know, blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
One shot, once a year, you know.
Sorry. But what you said about the whole idea that, you know, we became very building focused. You know, the generation of church, 20th century church, became very building focused. And now we've made digital our focus. So again, Kristen's question comes and rings in my ears. So what next? What do we do? Because are we going to go back to being building focused?
Right.
Because there are families that are not going to set foot in our buildings, even if they could. And I have said it on another podcast I was recording earlier with another person today, just because we can doesn't mean we should. Just because we can open our building doesn't always mean we should right away. I'm just kind of thinking through and would love to hear you guys' thoughts or if you have something else on this opening thing. But it just, I can't stop thinking about this idea of how are we going to reach those Sunday stay-at-home families? How are we going to move from the people we've connected with digitally to building relationships with them? Because we've connected with them digitally, but how do we build relationships? You know what I mean? Because there's a connection, but there's not relationship just yet. And even small churches where pastors are preaching to, you know, they're used to preaching to 50 people, are now reaching thousands through their broadcasts, through their Facebook Lives, whatever. And how do you take that digital connection and make that a personal relationship? That to me was one of the big questions I walked away with going, I don't know if I necessarily have an answer just yet, but it's one that I want to continue to wrestle with. And I want churches to wrestle with, because I believe that could lead to the next great revival or revolution in our country is to see this home church movement or whatever, this digital church movement break loose. But I do think it's going to take building relationships. So I'm just curious, what did you guys hear anything or have you had thoughts about any of those kind of questions? What are some of the, or maybe what is a question that struck you during this time of Orange Conference?
I'll be quick about it. We've got to become neighbor-minded. Mm. I mean, just at the end of the day, we've got to become neighbor-minded.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I think so much we have been broadcast-minded. And I think that takes on a different, you know, meaning now that we're online, because it's an actual broadcast. But I think for many churches, we have been about the message that takes place on the stage or in front of people. And we're really good at proclaiming.
Yes.
But we're not really good at that relationship side of things. And there are so many people that are not going to hear it. Maybe they'll hear it a little more now that we're online a little more. But where does it go from that point? Mm. Like Jesus spent a good chunk of his ministry building relationships with people, not preaching. I mean, like, I think if you just look at the Gospels alone, like what percentage of the Gospel is Jesus's like preaching versus him walking beside people and going to the people, not saying come to my building and hear me speak, but instead going to the people. And I think we've got to take that kind of mindset, and it takes some big changes. I mean, I think to be truly neighbor mindset, like what does that mean for our staffing? What does that mean for the volunteers that we're getting? What does that mean for our approach, like to everything, like needs to change in order to make that happen? Because if we're still staffed, both like paid staff and volunteers at a church, in order to make sure that our, and for the lack of a like a really good term, our show on the weekend, uh-huh. To make sure that looks good. If we're only staffed to do that, well then. That's all that's going to be good. But what does it look like when we really start staffing to take care of those people that we're reaching online, to take care of those people that maybe not ever will make it to the church for whatever reason? Like, how are we actually putting our money where our mouth is in that direction?
I'm glad you said it the way you said it, because I remember I actually served in a church where I was told, look, everything revolves around Sunday. It's Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. That's what's important. And I was like, how is that biblical? But a lot of churches have shifted to that everything's about Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. And what you just said is, you know, we need to rethink that. And I do think that was one of the things that Orange was calling us out and challenging the church to think about that. And I think that's why Reggie hit it so hard. Well, everybody continued to hit it so hard. What about those people that we're starting to digitally connect with? How are you serving them? How are you ministering to them? How are you getting to know them personally? Just like you said, just like Jesus did. Wow.
But it does, it still leaves me with a lot of questions though, because I don't know. I don't know what that really looks like. I think it's going to come down to us like being humble and saying we don't know the answer to that question and helping each other figure it out. Relying on the Holy Spirit, of course, to guide us, but I think those are the questions that I have. And I think that might be a little bit of a hindrance in us actually having the courage to take those steps, because I think for a lot of us, we want to know those answers before we step through and actually make those changes. And so either we've got to have the courage to step out and figure it out along the way, or we've got to start figuring things out really quick because we need to make those changes. And if we don't, we may end up in the same place we were before.
And that would be a tragedy. I don't know about you guys, but that's the one thing I guess that still kind of, it does weigh on me a little bit, is if we go back and do church the way we did pre-COVID, I just think I don't know how to say it. It's heartbreaking. It would be God-sized heartbreaking to go back to doing church the way we've always done it. I can't imagine that's what God wants out of one of the outcomes from this. I I don't have all the answers to this, and I think that's okay. And I think leaders have got to be okay with the fact that we don't know, we just don't know. And be okay with that and say, okay, God, I've got a new wineskin. I don't want the old stuff. I want new. So you fill this one. You show us how to do it. And if you're going to fail, fail forward. But try something new and break out and start asking God for a new dream and a new vision. I just think if we go backwards, if we go back to what we're comfortable with, I think we've got to go into where we're not comfortable. We got to start having conversations that we're not comfortable with. And like you said, staffing and the format of our services and the way our services meet, the way we program, and we've become very program driven, big event driven, you know, are those things worth the investment financially anymore? Especially in the new economy that will come out of this, because the economy is going to change. Communities are going to change. Schools are changing. The church can't, I just believe we can't go back pre-COVID, or we are going to be more irrelevant and something else will step in our place.
Yeah.
And that will not be from the light side. That will be definitely from the dark side, even though they don't win in the end. We know that. But all right. Well, let's move to kind of our final segment for this edition. I'm curious about your takeaways from it could be from the session, main sessions. It could be from a breakout. I'm just curious what key takeaways did you come away with so far? Because I'm still processing, so I can't say I've taken a lot of takeaways. So here's my couple things. I came away with three things that I'm thinking about. First is I want to go back to what is my why again. I want to reestablish my why. Why am I ministry? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? You know, so for me, it's why am I doing KMC coaching, and why am I developing a hurting leaders ministry? Why do I want to help churches find their why through the consulting ministry? But I just want to know why the church exists for this time. So I'm asking a lot of why questions right now. That's one of my takeaways that I think we've got to ask, and we got to dig on that and not go with the easy answer. So that's one. My second takeaway was we've got to change. And so I'm asking God to show me how that change should look. And what should it, I don't want to just change to change, because there are some things the church has been doing really well with. I don't mean to throw everything out. I don't mean to, when I say don't go back, I'm not saying you can't do some things the same. I'm not saying that. I know people would take it that way, but that's not what I was desiring to say. There are things that have to change, and I need to change my own self. So that was one of the things. And then that whole idea of what's next. So for me, that what next, the takeaway I had was that whole thing of what does it look like to go after those families that we've connected to digitally? What does that look like to build a relationship? What's the next step to taking them from a digital connection to a personal relationship? So those were my, right now, the three things I'm walking away with, wrestling with.
I would say just overall, my biggest takeaway and thing that I've really been even processing myself as a leader is I need to be healthy in all phases of my life if I'm going to lead my family well, if I'm going to lead the ministry that God has entrusted me with well. I've got to be healthy, and that means that I've got to make better choices in those areas with my family, with ministry. But I've also got to surround myself with people that can help hold me accountable and that I can trust, that I can go to when I have fallen, when I have messed up, when I've had an oops moment, to be able to go to those people and say, hey, here it is. Here's what I've done. Help me work through this and know that that's there. Because I mean, we're seeing it more and more where pastors and ministry leaders have just gotten in such a dark place and have just carried so much weight, and the choices that have come as a result of that overwhelmingly have not been good choices. More and more pastors are leaving ministry, leaving the church because of choices. Some have gone as far as to take their own life because of the dark place they find themselves in, and that's not good for anyone. And so You know, I've left OC 20 just encouraged in my spirit that, hey, I'm going to see you through this, David, just like I'm going to see thousands of others who will come to me and say, hey, I want you to be healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, you know, in all of those areas. So that was definitely my big takeaway is just overall health.
Yeah, I echoed the whole why thing, Tom, you talked about. I think that's huge. Why are we actually doing this? Why? What's that God-given reason why? And why do we individually feel that? I think that's a huge question that I'm be asking myself and of our ministry moving forward. And then I think, you know, like I said, the how will continue to change over and over and over again. It has to change, but what's that why that really drives us? And so really focusing on that. I think another big piece, they answered that why question with love. And I think that's yes. I'm going to start to look at everything that we do. Like, how can I approach every aspect of my life, every aspect of my ministry with the concentration of love? Not about anything else, but how do I actually love like Jesus called me to love. And then I think the third thing really comes down to both Reggie did a really good job of hitting this. And then I think Danielle Strickland did a really good job as well. Reggie closed out that thought was that we have the greatest opportunity to redefine ourselves and that we actually have a role to play in this. We may be asking like, what's this have to do with me? Why am I in ministry during this pivotal time? But God's placed us here for a reason. And what Danielle Strickland said, that like every revolution in history has an idea that just the right time, a catalytic leader with a supportive community and a mechanism to start, to spread the original message. And so like where, and I guess it's more just my takeaway is to really commit to fully praying for this. Like, okay, God, I've seen these things. I agree about them. What's my role? What do you want to do through me? How do I play a part in this giant puzzle piece that you're putting together right now? What's my piece? And how can I carry that out well to influence the people that you've given me to carry out whatever change you need to happen in the church and the community.
Well, this has been fun, fellas. Good to catch up and kind of see where you are after Orange 20. And again, got to say thanks and give a huge shout out to Reggie and his whole team. And all the people behind the scenes that I can't even imagine what it took in just the few months that they had to pivot and pull this together to make this conference happen when they could have just pulled the plug and said, no, we're not even going to do it. See you in 2021. They did not want to do that. They refused to give in and succumb to that. And I really am grateful. I know you guys are too, that they were willing to put it all out there and take a risk, because it was a big risk to say, hey, we're going to do this. And those of you that bought tickets, here you go. And we're going to try to give you the same value that you would, you know, that's not an easy undertaking by any means, but felt like they did it. I mean, I felt like people walked away going, this felt good. And especially having the opportunity to have the recordings on demand for a year, that's great, because there's a lot I missed. I've still got to go back. And
I'll be listening to those for a year. I think the other thing was cool was just having, you know, them saying, hey, here's an additional ticket, which was really cool, because we had people on our team that were then able to actually attend online that weren't able to make it to Atlanta. So that was really cool too, to not only expand it for the year with the breakouts, but also expand it in that way too, to offer more tickets for more people to get to experience it.
Yeah. Now,
because we had a team, Orange came to us and said, hey, we want you to have as many tickets as you need for your volunteers, your dream teamers, those who couldn't come. And so we had a bunch of our volunteers, we call them dream teamers, that were able to take in portions of OC 20 that otherwise wouldn't have been able to. And again, I mean, that's money that Orange put out on the table to help take care of the church.
That's very cool. Yeah, there's no doubt they pulled it off and they did a great job. And so we all say thank you to the Orange team for allowing us the opportunity to participate and to engage, to keep us sharp, to keep giving us another challenge for another year. I'm praying hard that God protects our country from another outbreak next spring so that in 2021 we can get together for a bigger party. I have no doubt it will be sweeter and there will be a lot more hugs, or at least virtual, you know, air hugs.
whatever our culture is okay with at that point. Yeah.
Air fist bumps, you know, we'll
orange keep masks.
Yes, right. I'm sure there will be lots of orange masks. Everybody will come in those orange body suits. Yeah. I don't know. Lord have mercy. I would look like a giant orange. Somebody'd say, what fell off the tree? Anyway, wow, way to wrap this up. We're editing that part out. Oh, just kidding. Anyway, hey, thanks for this. We pray that as you've listened to this, hopefully this has blessed you a little bit. If you didn't get a chance to go to Orange, we do hope that you'll think about joining us at Orange 2021. We would love to have you, but watch. We might be doing a part two of this as we gather more of the Orange blogging team together and dive in on more of the breakout sessions as we continue to digest those. We'd like to continue to help keep Orange in front of you to keep the discussion going. So feel free to reach out to any of us. As you heard at the beginning of the podcast, each of us have blogs and podcasts that you can check out, and we would love to have you do that. So thanks for listening. To this joint episode of the Kid Ministry Collective and
Student Ministry Podcast,
Kids Men Talk.
So thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe. And leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.